Session number 5868, Horton Monday, part 36.
Well, yeah, but this part I do remember ever so well. He took us down to a mortuary in the camp, and it was dug underground, so as you had to go down some steps down into it, and covered over like a dugout in the ground, old-fashioned dugout. And when we got there, it was all a dirt, just an ordinary dirt floor, and laying in it, if there was one, I should say there were 9 or 10 naked bodies laid there, and they was all starved, all a lot of them. And he took me to two, he pointed two of these chaps out, he says, there's your two Englishmen. He said, all these others was Russians, and they were the only two Englishmen in this mortuary, spread out on a dirt floor, blimey. Now, where the hell had I got to? Oh, I know, yeah. Now, spread out all on the floor was these bodies. Now, it was a terrible sight, all naked laid there, and there was one especially, I noticed. He'd cut his throat, and even on top of that, they hadn't had the decency to wash the blood off. Let it run all down on his chest, and he lay there with his throat cut. Oh, blimey, what a sight. Anyway, to get on with the business, this German, he got a truck, we went and fetched the truck, and he said, you'll find some coffins. He took us where there were some. Well, they wasn't coffins at all. They were sort of long boxes. Anyway, that was it. So we took them back, and we put one in each, and the blooming things were so short that the feet hung out the end. Not the end out, and the feet hung out the end of it. No mind. We put them on this truck, and he led us up to where the cemetery was. Now, I'm still thinking now, and I did this morning, did we dig that grave or was it dug for us? I can't remember. But anyway, what did happen? We put these two chaps in, and there was no burial service at all. We didn't know who they was. In fact, we didn't ask. Don't know who they was, but there was two of our English chaps, and don't know who they was. And well, now, eventually it come about. We was all called together one day, but it didn't cover the whole lot of us. That was strange. There was a hell of a mob of us. There were so many, the names was all called out, and fortunately I was on the one, and they lined us all up, several hundred of us, and went along the rank, counted them. Now, the Germans, they can't count, not if they'll have them. They'll count one, two, three, so on in English. I run the count along, and when they get to them, they'll say, so many. Okay? Another one follows along and checks them, and that's different. Well, what they were doing, our blokes, as soon as they could get in it, they were hanging round. Well, when they counted, they'd shove along and squeeze a couple more in somewhere. They got in the tangle, these Jerrys. At the finish, they said, oh, that's right, that's correct, that's right. Stink, you know, the old stuff. And that was all fixed up. Well, now, I organised it then, and there was a train. And I marched down to the station at Hillsborough. There was a train load of us. Well, what we thought was we'd got to travel all across Germany, but fortunately, no. Instead of going there, it was quite a long journey we went. We went eventually to Danzig, the last port on the Baltic. Well, that was the destination. Now, on the way there, it was quite a long journey, I know we pulled up somewhere, and in our compartment, because we got tea and stuff, and we said, wouldn't it be nice if we could have a brew up? So, all right, I said, we got our old billy cans, as you might call it, and I said, all right, we put the tea in the can, and do you know, I got it, there was no platform, I climbed down onto the railway, I walked right along to the engine driver, and I took him some stuff as well, to do it, and I went along to the engine driver, and he run some boiling water in and filled a can up with boiling water for tea. Made some tea, and I don't know, I'll give him a packet of tea, well, I'll give him something anyway. I went back and we sat there and we enjoyed that can of tea. Now here's the difference. If I'd have opened that carriage door 12 months before and stepped out onto the banking, I should have been shot dead in a twink. Now it just shows you how things altered altogether. Well, when we got to, eventually, we run into Danzig. That's quite a big city, Danzig. Well, it is now, of course. And I run us right through, right up onto the dock, and there stood all the beautiful large vessels. Red Cross ship went us right up along the side of it, and we got out, and stood in rows, and there were civilians there, women and children. You'll never credit this, but it's true. Women, any amount of women and children, and there was us with all our parcels and stuff, and they come along and begged from us, begged off of us for stuff. And do you know, all of us, practically all of us, put around in the boxes and dished it out, because we knew very well we wouldn't want any more then, because of the hospital ship. The hospital ship was loaded with food, so we knew we shouldn't want it. Well, we kept giving it to them. They were begging for it, the women and division. That would be sent to you. That would be your Baba Day pay, your allowance for food, living at home or digs, wherever you was. And later, I said, you were getting accounts of what you got to come. That was when you was demobbed. I think everybody then had £20, I'm almost sure. But you'd also have that, and your back pay for almost 2 years a prisoner, and just prior to it. So you'll have all that come sent to you. So that was all right. And then finally, away we went. Now, out of our little party of nine, I told you that the previous case was three Scotsmen, well, they simply scattered. And then Yorkie, that I've told you so much about previously, he didn't live all that far away. This was Ripon, Yorkshire. So Yorkie, of course, lived at Hartlepool, West Hartlepool, so he wasn't too far away. Now the other two, they were Coventry and Gloucester. Well, I don't know how they got away, but the other two Londoners that was with us, we all three came down together. They got a train through from Ripon right the way down to London. But we three travelled together. Well, when we got to Peterborough, that was the nearest I could get to Wolverton then, and I got out. We said goodbye and away they went. We've never seen each other since. And I got on a branch line then to Northampton. So when we got to Northampton, it was getting evening time then, and I thought, well, I could do with a drink. So I found my way into Northampton, went to a club, and I got no cards or anything, naturally. I told them who I was, and I went in and had several drinks. And then I caught a train back to Wolverton in Gradline. Well, it was getting on in the evening then, and I thought at my old club at New Bradwell on the Newport Road, went in there for a drink, and the first one I met was my old wartime mate and peace day mate all through our lives, old Sid Carroll. He was there, and of course he got invalided out right from the beginning of the war when he got smashed up. Well, we had quite a nice session together, and as the evening wore on, there was one or two of the old cronies that was home, discharged through wounds and so forth. There was four or five of us, and we had a quite lovely evening together. As it got toward near closing time, and we started to have toast, drink a toast to absent friends. Some of the absent friends just never would come back. I finished with good over the other side. But we had quite a good evening. Eventually, and the school said it's time you cleared out, I went home, not a couple of streets away from the club. I went home, I knocked the back door, and I'd all gone to bed. Well, I rattled it, my mother came down. When she saw it, well, no, dear, we did have a reunion. Mother shouted upstairs, here's Hawk come home. My dad come down in his old long night shirt. My little brother first, he come galloping down. Well, we had a nice reunion. Mother got a bottle of whiskey out. She says, I bought this a long time ago for when you come home. Got that out, and Daddy was a lengthy folk, he wouldn't touch any. Oh, we sat gassing for a long time about different things and excited and so forth. Eventually, my mother knelt down by a chair and prayed. Prayed to God for bringing me home safely, I remember that. And of course that caused a odd tear or two. But afterwards I said to my mum, I said, oh lovely, we're back here home after all those hardships with plenty to eat and plenty to drink. I said, now just for a single thought, I said, how about them German prisoners in England? They haven't been sent back to him that for a long time, I thought, how about them? What sort of homecoming will they have? Because when they get home to their mother and father, them in Germany were starving, so they couldn't have had much of a reception apart from a reunion. I thought then, what a blooming mess that was in for them. Well, I got up early in the morning and had a wander around the house, and I saw a frying pan on the stove with a hell of a lot of fat in it. So I thought, well, here goes. So used to doing me cooking, in fact I kind of kid myself I was almost a chef. That was scranging and cooking in the prisoner's workplace. And I went round, I found a plate in the pantry heaped up sausages. So here you go, I'll give them a treat, I'll cook the breakfast for them, take it up. Well, I put the sausages in the pan and that and threw them away. My mother come down, said, what are you doing? I said, you go back to bed, I'm going to cook your breakfast for you. She says, well, what pan have you got? I said, the one on the stove. Well, she said, I don't know how you will eat them. She says, that's a pan of fish fat you put them in. I said, well. So, I thought they smelled the butter off. Yes, she said, that's what we throw some herrings in. Yes, the girl. Anyway, I don't know whether we eat them or not, I can't remember. But I do remember 18 months in Swim, I'd have killed anybody for wind sausages. So that's what happened, and it went out very well. A few days later, then I had a notification from Warwick in the record office, and my postcards had gone through then. And a statement, all the money I've got to come,
That was a £20 demob pay that everybody had. 2 years back pay, and the total come just round the bow of £100, £100. I thought, oh, hell, I'm a millionaire. Well, I have a worthwhile time. I've got 3 months out of this, 3 months leave, £100 to spend. I thought, well, that'll last me a lifetime. But I don't blame you, no, it went all right. Well, long before the 3 months were up, I had to start work again. So I went back in and worked, and that was long before the 3 months were up. And then I put me in the old jail, and we were tied up all right. So I said to her one day, when I started back to work, I said, well, I said, I think we'd better see if we can afford to buy a bed. And so we both put our names down together and carried on. Carried on then for 54 years. So I now have picked up with a rough diamond, but my God, how that diamond sparkled for 54 lovely years together. And when at the finish, he was in Northampton Hospital, I went down after a few days on it. I sat by the bed with a sister out in the hand. He called a nurse. She went away and the doctor came back. He lifted the old dear's eyelid, nodded, and it was all over. Now, I turned to the doctor and the sister. I said, I'll tell you two something that very, very few people can say. We've been together 54 years and neither of us have ever made a mistake. No. Oh, hello, that's stopping. I can feel the old teardrop dropping in my hand there, so I'll flat back up. I'll have another goo later on. Well, that about brings me to the end of me tales about my prisoner of war days 14 to 18. I've tried as well as possible to remember everything in detail as much as I could. But I do hope that if anyone's listening, I'll get a little pleasure out of it. In any case, it's achieved its object. It's helped me break up the time a little in these lonely winter evenings, and that was the object of it. But should by any chance someone consider it worth publishing, well then any proceeds from it, with the exception of just a small little bit for my little nephew Ashley, who has helped me so much to make them, helped me in every way. Should that happen, but a little bit for him, and perhaps just a little bit for me, just for me supper medicine. And that's about all I require. The main thing, if there should be anything from it, must go to the Buckinghamshire Blind Association. They've helped me tremendously, and if there's anything made out of it at all, I hope that I would get it. But for myself a little, just for a supper drink, a little crafty that's helped me, and that's about all I should require from it, providing it gives pleasure to someone. If anyone that should run the publisher,
there must have been a lot of rumours about whereabouts you're actually going, were there?
No. The obvious the rumour or expectation was that you would go to France, because all the battling was in France. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear of any battles whatever other than in France. And that's where you expected to go. But what part? Because you didn't know then.
Okay, so you leave for France.
Yes.
Can we take it from there, arriving
yes,
in France?
Yes, you do that. Well, when we went, now, as I said before, it was the 29th of March, 1915, when the when our lot went. That was the 48th Division. Well, our lot, our battalion, that was the books, the day before, the transport went. That was the horses and the transport, you know, the cookers and all that. Well, they went the day before, because they was all horse-drawn. Now, on the 29th, we went. We went from Chelmsford, and we had a send-off. Marvellous send-off. Streets was packed with people sending us off because there was many of our chaps married Chelmsford girls as well. So we got very popular. We went from Chelmsford to Folkestone. But night, of course, dark. You always went across in the dark. Couldn't go in the light, naturally. And we went from Folkestone to Boulogne. And we got to Boulogne in the early hours of the morning. And as we marched through the streets of Boulogne, the French people, was opening the bedroom windows and cheering us as we marched through Boulogne to a hill outside. And it was all tents. And everybody there was all expectations. He was eager. You know, what you've got to realise now is different to what it was then. No one ever went abroad in those days. If you went to France or something outside England, that was marvellous. You used to have a job even to go to the seaside for holiday, no more than anything else, but to go abroad, it seemed magnificent.
What was the town like? Were the people very different to you when you went over there? Did it strike you as very different, or did it strike you?
No, only the language. It seemed fascinating. See, today you meet all foreigners in the street. Well, in those days there was only Englishmen in England, as the saying is. And to meet someone speak in a different language, it seemed fascinating to you. And if you met, as you did eventually, of course, meet French girls and that sort of thing, they seem different. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk different, and you sort of stood looking at them with your mouth open, put it in that way, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So you went to your, this tented town almost, I suppose. There must have been lots of tents there.
Oh, yes, it... I'll tell you what I think did happen. I couldn't be certain, of course, but I got a faint idea. It wasn't a large camp at all. I reckon our people went out in front the day before and put the tents up ready for us to drop into, see, because you went in battalions.
How many are there in a battalion?
1,000.
1,000, I think.
1,000 troops, well, you see, that'd be a shipload going across. That's just one battalion. Well, to shift an old division, you've got 20,000 in, and that's not. And then you've got all your transport and guns and everything, you see. So you can tell how long it takes to shift a division. But I'm talking now just of our one battalion,
yes,
the
yes,
books.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So what happened when you were at this?
Well, we stayed there a matter of about 2 days, I should say. And after 2 days, then we was moved up to the front. Now, as near as I can tell you, what would it be, 20 mile, I'll bet. From the rail head, we had to march. And we marched from that rail head to a village, one village we came to, and we stayed the night at this village in some old barns and that, settled down, and marching along these French cobble roads. They were all cobbles, the roads, and didn't half play up with your feet. But the next day we marched again from there to Armentières. That was as near as you could get to the front then. But prior to getting to the front, everybody, because it was all excitement, it was a novelty. And as you got nearer, you could hear the rumble of the guns. Well, it was seemed so fascinating to young chaps to get there, and with the feeling, oh, we're getting near it, and all, you know, excitement and all that sort of thing. Where are we going? And eventually we landed at Armentières.
Mm-hmm. What was Armentières like at this time? That presumably had been already bombarded, has it?
I think they must have broken into Armentières, the Germans, and was drove out again, because as we went along a road a mile or two out of Armentières, they told us then the road that we was going along was the road where the first lot of territorials that ever went to France was the London Scottish. And it said that's where the London Scottish battalions had held the Germans and stopped them there. So that was close to Armentières. And we didn't stay long in Armentières. The only thing there was we were sent up to what they call gunfire baptism. Now, if that wasn't a hell of a waste, you never heard of it. Fancy telling you to go and learn you what it was like to be under shell fire when you'd got to be under it in a matter of a day or two, but that was it. Now, that was the first casualty of the Buckinghamshire Battalion happened on that day, because we had to go up, they took us up in what they call diamond formation, artillery formation. And that means that you put in sections like diamond formation.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right, yeah.
And they took us up, and the Germans started shelling.
Were you just standing there?
No, we took up to go from Armentières out to the outside Armentières to the trenches, to the British and German trenches.
Yeah.
And going there, we went out in the open, and they started shelling, and always remember, the shells was ever so high. There was these high explosives, ever so high, and one of our chaps had a piece hit him, and they carried him into a monastery very close, just outside Armentières, and he died. And his chap name was Billy Holland from Newport Pagnell. He was the first casualty in the Buckinghamshire Battalion.
And that was just what they call the baptism of fire.
The baptism of fire, that was. Now, if that wasn't a waste of life.
How far away were you from the actual trenches then?
Well, we went into them.
Oh, I see.
We went into some reserve trenches and stayed a day in there.
Just
to learn what it was like. And these trenches that we went in there was reserve trenches. They wasn't the front line ones.
No, they had links to the front line.
Yes, they're, you know, sort of reserve, perhaps a half a mile back were, see.
But the Germans had spotted you moving into these reserve trenches and started sort of firing.
They used to shell, whether they saw you or not, you always had shell fire, whether they could see you or not, on the open catching you.
Yeah.
Now,
tell me, what were yours and your friend's first impression of that when you actually got there for the first time and actually experienced it?
Excitement. And perhaps I'd better explain the real thing, the real trench warfare.
Well, let's come back to this. So before, I want to sort of take you on gently.
Yes, I'm going gently now, from Armentières.
Yeah, but let's say this was your first experience. How did you... You were just still excited at this stage.
Oh, still excited.
But what about the death of Billy Holland?
It made you realise then that there was a war.